Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming out and for staying around, and thanks for the cupcake, which gave me the energy to stay awake and get through this, I think. So at work, I'm a data analyst, and then when I'm not at work, one of my hobbies is following local politics. Woo! And yeah, all right, this is the right crowd then. and also getting engaged in the politics and working on a few campaigns myself. And that's how, those are the two parents, I would say, of this project here, this Twitter bot that was trying to get more people to vote. So I want to say tonight, I did this experiment in August, and then I never wrote up the results. I kind of fell off and got busy, and then this prodded me to do that. So this is the world premiere of cutting edge Twitter bot research here. No one else in the world knows whether this actually worked or not, but you will find out. All right, so we're going to start off with a little data gathering here, since this project involved a lot of data gathering. I'm going to do a little unscientific polling. So we'll get a baseline here. Raise your hand if you are registered to vote in Ann Arbor. And I know not everyone's eligible. All right, pretty good. So we get a measure there. Now we're going to get a little harder. How about if you think, and I'm not going to call on you yet, that you could name one of your city council representatives? Both of your city council representatives? All right, and then the most important one, if you voted in a city council election this year in August or November. All right, give yourselves a round of applause. That's clutch. All right. And now we're going to add some stakes to it with a little pop quiz. And here I will call on some people, some brave volunteers. I figured I should give an incentive. So if I call on you and you get it right, come find me and I'll tweet you from the bot's account a shout out and I'll buy you a beer. So find me afterward. We'll start off with an easy one. So the way this will work, don't shout it out, but raise your hand if you want me to call on you and I'll give it a second and maybe select you. So start easy. How many wards make up Ann Arbor? Wow, that's not a lot of hands. Yes.
Five,
all right, excellent. Here they are. They're quite lovely, like pie pieces. Which one have I circled here? You way in the back. Anyone else? Way in the backer. Yes, very nice, all right. And then I'm a little worried about the lack of hands, but give this one a shot here. So there might be more than one answer here. Only pick one if you're going to take a crack at this. Which of these people do not currently serve on Ann Arbor City Council? Yes. No, Jack Eaton does serve on the City Council, but good try. Too literal. Yes. Eight. No, Graydon is on City Council. Yes.
Six.
Kirk is on City Council. Yes.
Five.
Julie Grant is on City Council, so pretty soon this will be obvious. Yes. Three. Yes, three is some random guy from the internet, so well done. And there is one more lurking in the midst by process of elimination. Yes.
Ten.
Ten, no. All right, I'm just going to tell you, number seven apparently should run for city council in Ann Arbor because you all find her a very plausible candidate. I went to great length to find those fake people here who have the same microphone that our city council uses to throw you off. All right, so you can see just from that even maybe you might expect this crowd, I think it probably skews younger, which isn't the most involved in local elections, but you're also self-identified nerds, so I would have some hope there. And you can see that local, probably a lot of you consider yourself politically involved, but that doesn't always translate to local participation, which is the problem here. And I think this chart makes it pretty stark. We don't need anecdotes. Here's some voter turnout in Ann Arbor. And when the presidential election comes around, the people of Washtenaw County, they all come out and vote, and I'm glad you do. But the same doesn't go true for here. And I should note that there's a lot of inactive voters on the rolls here. And so the 65, the peak is probably 80 or 85. We couldn't do better than that if you count people who moved away. So this is awfully low down here. And that's the problem that I was trying to remedy here. So why is that so low? There's a few reasons, some structural factors. One is that Ann Arbor has become a democratically dominated town. It's tough to get elected as a Republican anymore. No surprise, probably. And what that means is the real election is in August in the Democratic primary. And a lot of people aren't paying attention then, but once you make it through, you have the D by your name in November, and you're pretty much invincible in Ann Arbor. Then we also have half our council members are elected in odd years, and there's nothing else on the ticket to bring out turnout. You don't have any state reps, you don't have the president, you don't have the governor, and so only the most diehard voters get out for that. That manifests in campaign targeting, that campaigns don't actually try and get everyone to vote. They're okay with everyone voting, but that's not a smart expenditure of resources. I'll give you an example here. So say you were going to run for Ward 4 in 2017, and you sat down and you said, all right, we need some votes. How many votes do we need? Well, to win, previously we had 1,900 votes cast, 1,800 votes cast in odd year elections, so maybe a good year would be 2,200 votes. So let's target 2,500 people. And then if we have enough money to send mail, we're not going to mail the other people. We're not going to knock on their door. We're just going to send more mail to these people because these are the ones who vote. The problem is there's 15,000 active registered voters in this ward. So this just says the other 12,000 people, you're on your own. And it's not in people's self-interest usually to go after those low turnout voters, those drop-off voters they're called, who vote in those presidential elections. Which led me to this experiment. You know, that bothers me every time people who follow this stuff complain about low turnout. And I said, you know, I know about Twitter a little, I use it, and I know the voter data from working on campaigns, so what if we sent tweets to people? And there's a few reasons to tweet. One is that it's free. Campaigns send mail, and they have volunteers, and it's time and money. A campaign I don't think would cold tweet at random people because it would be pretty weird and risky, but I don't mind being weird and risky, so I'll send random tweets to people. And the other key part is that Twitter data and interactions is all public. And that's clutch here. So I'm not going to assume everyone's familiar with Twitter, and I'll just say Twitter, it's a social network. You can send your brilliant bone mutts that are 140 characters or less out into the ether. And whoever likes you can follow those, and you can follow other people and read their text-length missives. But you don't have to follow someone. Anyone can engage with anyone else, and I can bring you up in my tweet or go read your tweets as I see fit. So it's public, and I was able to access all the data, and people could read all of the data from my bot. You can also mention somebody in a tweet, which is a key to the operation of this bot, is the at mention. And so this is a tweet I sent to somebody, or the bot sent, shortly before the August election. And we start off with an at mention. And my hope is that even infrequent Twitter users will get a little ping on their smartphone app or in their email saying, you've been mentioned by Ann Arbor Votes. And that will be enough to nudge them off to the polls. All right. So how do we find the people to tweet at? Well, voter data is public. Not only your voter registration is public, but also the elections, who participated in which elections is public. And related information, your age, your location, if you're registered to vote, that's all publicly available. There are about 90,000 people registered to vote in Ann Arbor. Not all of them have voted recently, and some of them are probably gone. All right, but unfortunately, among the many fields that the city clerk or the county board of elections will hook you up with, Twitter username is not on there. So I had to go find that myself. And how do you do that? So we have the voters' names, and we go search Twitter. Just type it in the search bar, essentially, and we get a list of usernames. And then we got to figure out, of all those people named John Doe, which was the one who matches this person on the voter rolls. And we do that by looking to see if they live in Ann Arbor. And then if we find somebody, then we store information about them so that we can hit them with a tweet later. Here's what this looks like in practice. So punch your name into the search bar, and you say, I want to find Mark Schlissel's Twitter account. And there's a bunch of results here. These are all parody accounts. Sadly, they're not very active. And so the bot says, which one is real? And it crawls each one and looks for their location. And it grabs it and says, oh, Ann Arbor, Michigan, that's the one that we are looking for. All right. So behind the scenes, this is my lovely Twitter profile here, and it's so elegant. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of code that obscures the information we want. I want to grab the location of the user down here, and I'm guessing there are probably some people in this crowd who are familiar with the back end of web pages. Anybody ever use HTML or CSS or look at any code like that? Maybe you wrote a web page back in the 90s. That would count. All right, so here's what that looks like. There's 7,000 lines between that Twitter profile to render that. So looks so nice. Behind the scenes, pretty creepy. We don't need to read all this to get the data out. There's a neat little browser plugin that I used, and I just clicked on what I wanted. I said, I want this. And it said, do you also want this red part? I said, no, and I clicked it out. And it said, ah, then what you want the profile header card location text. Okay, I guess I do. And sure enough, if you go and look at the 7,000 lines of code, the profile header card location text tag wraps the location that I wanted. Excellent. So all my computer has to do, I tell it, I use the R programming language for this. It's open source, it's free. I said, take the web page source, find the HTML node that has this tag, and grab the text, and that's the user's location. And now if you can imagine this operation run millions of times on hundreds of thousands of web pages, it was a great task to outsource to a computer while I played out in the beach. For the August primary, I got this running just before the election, so I only had time to scrape the most competitive wards, wards 3 through 5. There's 52,000 registered voters there, and hours of computer churning later, it found about 2,100 matches, so consistently 4% hit rate. And it was time to tweet. Tweeting is the easy part. There are a lot of packages that let you tweet. If you want to build a Twitter bot, Google it. It's easy, and if you get stuck, let me know. I broke this into treatment groups and control groups, because after all this work, I had to know if it worked. It's science. And then I also wanted to avoid getting banned. I was very concerned about this early on, as it turned out I should have been. A lot of other people's bots that tweeted at random users is a little risky for a bot. They might think you're a spammer and not a civic do-gooder in my case. So I mixed up my messages, and I staggered the tweet timing a little bit, slowly ramping up. All right, so you heard the process, and maybe at this point you're wondering, yeah, but we came out to find out whether it works. So I have mixed news. The bad news first, I ran this simple crosstab, and I was sad. I didn't need any sort of statistical test to tell me that this was not a meaningful difference. And that was sad. But there were a couple of silver linings here. The first one is, I can see via Twitter's analytics, any Twitter user can go see if their tweets are getting engaged with. And I looked at which tweets got engaged with. And engagement is maybe somebody clicked on your tweet, or they retweeted you, or they clicked on your profile. And the tweets that got engaged with, those people did turn out and vote. Because remember, voter records are public, so I actually know everyone who voted. If you come give me your name, I will tell you if you were naughty or nice. And so I matched that up, and I can see that those people participated at a higher rate, and this is statistically significant, the difference between people who did not receive a tweet and people who received a tweet that received at least one engagement. Now, the skeptics out there are probably saying, rightfully so, this is not causal. I think that it's probably the people who were going to vote anyway were the ones who got excited about getting tweeted at by a voter bot, and they're the ones who sent it off to their friends. And you may be right. Maybe someday I'll get out the historical voter information and try and control for prior voter engagement of these people who engaged. So this is promising, but not a shoo-in. This is the one that I'm really excited about, though, this next slide. So one of the problems with this data set is that I was matching up Twitter accounts that had last tweeted in 2010, in 2012, a lot of obsolete accounts. And those people don't really count, I wouldn't say, as receiving the treatment if they never actually saw my tweet. That's more like a control. I looked, and the median number of lifetime tweets sent by a user in my whole sample of 2,000 people is 39. And I'm looking out there and thinking, there are some people here who have sent 39 tweets just during this nerd night. So that's not exactly a highly active user to send 39 tweets in your lifetime. So what if we only look at the hardcore tweeters? Maybe there's some good news there. And yeah, so I looked at people who had only tweeted most recently in the 24 hours prior to my bot crawling their profile. And this was encouraging. There's a meaningful looking difference here. And these are the people, these are active tweeters. They just didn't get a reminder from me. And these are active tweeters who did get a reminder. Now this difference, I gotta be a good scientist, is not statistically significant if you're into that sort of thing. My sample size was too low, but I would love to see somebody scale this up. I have hopes that maybe this means that if you can get a message out to a voter and they likely see it, that maybe this means they're more likely to vote. All right, there are also some other intangibles I'll wind down with here. Other kinds of outcomes that weren't just voting or not. I sent 1,041 tweets. Those were viewed about 8,000 times. about 300 engagements and then a paltry number of favorites and replies and retweets. I got so excited when this bot got retweeted. Thank you to the six of you. I think maybe two of whom are here. But overall, this is not very good engagement. And that's a result of all those obsolete accounts. And also of people probably saying, okay, this is a bot. I'm not going to message back. This one person, I was telling you I got excited about the retweets. This one person retweeted me and I got 519 views, 17 engagements. All their buddies clicked on it. This is a network sort of social media, so everyone is seeing it. And then I went and looked, and this person didn't even vote. I had people writing back, thank you so much. They didn't vote, so people are phony. But there might be intangible benefit to this, which is that I don't know if that guy's friends voted. They're not in my data set, but hundreds or maybe thousands of people saw these tweets who I wasn't targeting, and maybe some of them voted, or maybe it legitimized voting behavior and brought awareness to these local elections that sadly no one votes in. All right, and then the last couple of outcomes here. Sadly, I said I'm going to get back on this for November, and I retooled my scraping algorithm, and it's faster, and it's more accurate, and I gobbled up all the Ward 2 usernames with higher match rates than ever before, and I didn't ramp up my tweeting this time. I figured I'm allowed to send a tweet per minute like I was in August after I slowly ramped up, and I got busted right away, and my bot is in timeout until I appeal, so this may be a pause for the experiment. But I also got a few other kooky ideas for using voter data to motivate people to get out and vote in these local elections that are so important but so underparticipated in. So maybe in a year you'll see me up here, or maybe some bot will bug you on Facebook, which is really what my hope is, if I can find the time to pull it off. So if you're interested in this sort of stuff, there's I think a growing number of people in Ann Arbor are doing this type of thing, and I'd love to talk about this more offline, so come find me. All right, thank you guys.